sixth chapter of the book of Judges, as we've been doing. We've been just trying to pick through the book of Judges and look at some principles that affects our life. They do. That's why God pinned them, had them pinned down, is for our examples for us. What happened to Israel was for our examples. And oh my, how we can learn and glean from the truths that's in the Old Testament. And if we'll just listen and just apply them. I was thinking about this week, about application of the Word of God. I was thinking about it in my own life, and I was saying, you know, you find all of these principles, but you got to apply them. You can't just, you know, take them as a historical note, but you got to apply them. You got to look at yourself and say, you know, this is what happened to Israel, and look what happened to them. Or you can look at the other side and look at the blessings they received, that Israel received, by doing the will of God, by obeying God Almighty. It's a marvelous thing. Sixth chapter, I want to just read probably about five verses, and then we'll look at our lesson. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. You notice there that God put them in the hand of Midian because of their sin. I mean, you understand that. That's you got to, you know, we got to get a hold of that. That's why they're where they're at. It's because of their sin. God placed them here in the hands of captors. So they went out and they hid. They hid up in the mountains and in the caves and the strongholds. And he says, and so it was when Israel had sown, they'd sowed their crops. It says that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they come up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. So once again, what we see here is, because of sin, Israel once again is placed under captivity. It's because of sin. It's because of the evil that they did. Now, what happened then was that the enemies, and we talked about this last week, and the enemies were not new enemies. They were old enemies. They were enemies that had remained in the land, and Israel had left them in the land. And because of that, because they did not drive them out, these old enemies rose up against them, and God then used those to prove Israel. And when they did evil in the sight of the Lord, he allowed the Midianites to be captives over Israel. And then we see that, of course, and they stole their crops. They came in, they took their sheep, their oxen, they took all of their crops, the increase when they would plant them. I think I mentioned last week, wouldn't it be a horrible thing if we'd go out and plant a crop, and every year then they would come in right at the time of harvest, and they'd come in and take it. You know, you could use that with a garden. You plant a garden every year, and all at once, when it's just ready, produce, here comes the enemy and takes everything you got. That's what happened here in Israel. So what I want to do is, we did this last week, but I want to just read it so that we'll have the background. And then I want to talk to you about some things. In the book of Hosea, if you want to turn there, it's in the second chapter of the book of Hosea. And I want to read to you. That's the book right after the book of Daniel. You'll find it right after Daniel. But in chapter 2, verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall, that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. And of course, this is Hosea and Gomer, the wife he had taken, and she left him. She was a harlot, and she left him. And then he's trying to get her to return, and talks about returning to her first husband. But that really, what God was teaching there was Israel. Israel had left God and walked away from God, and he's bringing them back, trying to bring them back to him. Then in verse 8 and 9 is what I want you to notice. He said, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Do you notice what he said? God gave him all of these things. God gave him the corn, the wine, the oil, the silver, the gold. He multiplied it, and they took it and used it to make idols for Baal out of, and to worship and make sacrifices to Baal. And so God says, what did I do? Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and I will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. In other words, in this portion of Scripture, God is just saying, because you took that which I gave you, and the blessings of God, I gave it to you, but you took it and used it wrongly. You used it for Baal. You made idols. You did these kind of things with it. I mentioned, I think, last week about that I believe with all of my heart that those same things are happening. The principles that is we find in God's Word is happening in America today. God, you say, well, all these financial troubles and economic troubles, it really goes back to a spiritual problem. We've got to understand that, because we think that somebody can come along and solve this thing. It's not going to be solved. Not completely and fully. It's just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper because of our spiritual problem. We have walked away from God, and I'm talking about as a nation. We've walked away from the Lord and his principles, his truths. So God is sending in those who will take it back. And it's just happening. You know, this economy it's getting bad, and we want it fixed, but the only way really to fix it is us getting right with God. It's getting our relationship right with the Lord. You see, that's the only way it's going to be fixed. And then we talked a little bit about over in Malachi, I'm not going to turn there, but we talked about our tithes and offerings, and you remember God speaks about the tithes and the offerings, and he says if we will bring our tithes and offerings into the house of the Lord, he'll take care of the devourer, that won't allow the devourer to take those things, you see. And so it's very important that we understand the importance of us giving what we should give to the Lord. And I'm just convinced of that. I think most of you out here that are faithful in giving, you could testify to the truth of how God has blessed you because you have been faithful in just giving unto the Lord and doing what the Bible says, you see. But I do believe something. I do believe it's more than just tithes and offerings. I believe, and I think I shared this with you last week, it's more than that. It's everything we have is God's. We must understand that. We must understand that. Whatever God has given us, abundance he's given us, it belongs to him. We're just the stewards of it. Okay? I mean, do you believe that? Do you understand that? We're just stewards of what God has given us. So I think we get our minds so much on things. You know, the most important thing in the world is not things. That's a little sign. I think Donna may have that sign somewhere. She's picked it up but it's what it says. The most important thing in the world is not things. Boy, we've got to get a hold of that. And so I want to just look at it today and try to get our priorities right and try to help us to get looking again at things for what they are. Just for what they are. I was thinking this week about land. A person has, say, let's just say he has 10 acres of land. You say, brother, that's really something. But really, that land is absolutely nothing. It's just an object. It is just an object. Now, it can be used for either good or bad. You see, the land is not good or bad, but it can be used for good or bad. You could go out there and you could plant maybe some corn or vegetables or whatever it might be, and it would help feed a community, a nation, or yourselves, and that would be a good and proper thing. Or you could go out there and you could plant on that land a field of marijuana that would be used to dope up our teenagers. You see, it's not the land's problem. It's what it's used for. You understand? It's what we do with it. We could build a house on it, you know, and make a home there. And it'd be a good and proper thing to do that. But it's not the land that is good. It is just an object. It's a thing. It's what we take and do with it. That's true. That is true in everything that we have. See, it's objects. You take a house, you go and you build a house, you're going to make a home out of that. That's a good, that's a proper thing, to have a home instead of a house. But you're going to build a house, and you're going to place that on this piece of land that you have. But the house is not good or bad. We've got to get our eyes off of the fact that these things are either good things or bad things. No, it's what we do with them. You could take that house and you could make a home out of it. You could have a place where your children was raised and wonderfully, or you could turn it into a tavern. See, it's not the house, it's what it's used for. You understand what I'm saying? You could take that same house as Bob and Anita Swaby did many years ago and turned it into a church. So you could take it. It's what we've got to do. We've got to get to the place where we understand that things are things. And if you'll think about it, most of our lives is dwelt around things. Why do we want money? Why do we want this, that? So we can buy things that really aren't anything. You take an automobile. You know, we all have to have them. They're necessary to have. But an automobile sitting out there is nothing. It's an object. It's all what you do with it. It brought a lot of people to church this morning. It's a good thing. That's a proper thing. But you could take that same automobile and go rob a bank and use it as a getaway car. What I'm getting at is we've got to put our things, our perspectives right about things. I was going to get something out here. I've got a $20 bill right there. Amen. That thing right there is not good or bad. It's just a piece of paper. That's all it is, piece of paper. The only thing that makes us good, if you will take it and use it for good. You might give that to some dear widow lady that has a need. Or you might go buy some groceries for your family. There's many, many things you could do with that $20 bill, but it itself is nothing but a piece of paper. You could take that same $20 bill and go buy drugs with it. It's not the $20 bill that's bad. It's what's done with it that makes it either good or bad. And this, to me, this is very important because we get our lives centered in on on things and how important things is. I'll in a few minutes try to show you what I believe the importance is, but what we do with that is important to God. That's important, you see. Whether we waste it or whether we use it for good is important to our Lord. I can't remember for sure, but I'll be within a little bit. There, I think it's 2,300 verses in the Bible that speak about money. About money or possessions. 2,300. You think that's not important to God? What we do with this here thing that is absolutely nothing until we pick it up and do something with it? You think that's not important to God? Oh, I know it is. I know it is. And you know, the thing about it is, I can't remember who it was that said it, but I read this here a while back. On the dollar bill, of course, is the face of Washington, our first president, George Washington. Back when he was president, they had some kind of act. I wish I'd have went back and looked, but it was called the Coin Act or Coin Resolution. And they made it impossible for money to be not backed up by a gold standard. Now listen to this. Anyone who did that in that law that they made would be put to death. It was that serious to George Washington and to them leaders back in that time. They would be put to death. Anyone who debased the currency of the United States would be put to death if they did this. Now, you take a dollar bill and his picture's on it, and it's worth nothing. It absolutely is worth nothing. You know why? Because it does not have anything to back it up. Absolutely nothing. It is, all it is a piece of paper. The only thing that guarantees your money today is not the gold standard or the silver standard or anything else, is your government guarantees it with the scarcity of money. In other words, they are not going to allow so much of it to be out there that it'll then continue to be worthwhile. That's the only thing that guarantees it. Now, when they go, as they're doing, printing more and more and more, all that does is make your money, your dollar, worthless. See, what is happening is most of us gripe. We go to Walmart or some other store and we say, my wife has said it. She comes home and said, Bob, I can't believe these prices going up. I can't believe how they're going up. And that's a concern for ladies that have to go out and shop and do all of these things. It is. It's a concern. She said, I can't believe it. But do you understand what's happening? It isn't that the product is going up. It's that your dollar has been devalued. And it takes more dollars to buy what you used to buy. If you used to pay $2 for something, now you have to pay $3 for it. It wasn't that that went up so much. It's because your money is no good. And as I remember back in Germany during the war, the marks became so inflated that they said that it took a wheelbarrow full of marks to buy a loaf of bread. Now you think that can't happen here? Because we're seeing it happen. Now, not to that degree. But that's when you go to the store and you see all these higher prices. Let me assure you what's happening. Your dollar is not near worth what it used to be. So you're having to pay more dollars. Okay? So what I'm saying is, we got to get our eyes on what's important. And what God said You see, Israel, you have taken that which I gave you, and you have used it. You have used it for wickedness and wrong. You've used it the wrong way, so I'm going to take it back. You understand? You think God don't use that same principle today? Oh, I believe he does. You see, and it rains on the just and the unjust alike. Amen? So what we've got to understand is it is important what we do with that $20 bill. Because it's not good or bad. It's what we do with it that makes it good or bad. That's why, your preacher, he preaches and, you know, and talks to you about the things of the Lord and the giving to the Lord. That's important because we should. And we should be encouraged about those things. And you have needs. The Word of God tells us that you have needs. He knows that your Heavenly Father knows you have needs. Okay? In fact, I want to turn over there for a moment over to Matthew. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Just a minute here. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let me just read to you verse 28. Let's just read for a few moments and listen to what God says in this wonderful portion of Scripture. He says, "Why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Now, you notice here, he gives us three things. He says, what you drink, what you eat, and how you're clothed. You remember in the wilderness where God provided water out of a rock? He provided manna from heaven. He provided clothing, shoes that did not wear out. You know why? Because God, in God's word, he says, I know you have need of those things to exist. Life is important, and you have to have those things to exist. You understand? You have to have those things. God says, I know, because he says in verse 32, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things." And what things is he talking about? Talking about what you drink, what you eat, and to be clothed. I think along with being clothed, that does mean some kind of a roof over your head, some kind of dwelling place. That goes along with that, I really believe, because you would have to have that. It's a need of life to have some kind of a dwelling place out of the cold, out of the heat, and a place to live. Okay? Now, understand that? All right, and he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," what are the things he's talking about that will be added unto us? The drink, the eat, and the clothing, the raiment. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about all the wants of life. He's not talking about that. Now, I know God gives us a lot of wants. I understand that. He does. And why he's so merciful at times, I don't know. Because he is merciful to us. And he provides for us abundantly more than we need. But what I'm saying is, that's the things he said that would be added unto you if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's those things are things that are necessary for life to exist. So what I'm saying is, and what I believe, come to believe, is it is very important to him to what we do with the excess. You see, the word of God says, so you would gain the whole world and lose your soul. What have you gained? I mean, if you gained every single thing that this world had, you put all the things together and you lose your soul. He's saying the soul of man is more important than anything else. Because you see, it's different with this $20 bill. It's just an object. It's really not anything until you pick it up and do something with it. But a life, a soul, has an eternity. It will live forever. So God is trying to get our minds off of the things of this world, the things of this world, and onto the fact that there's lost souls out there that will live forever. They will. They'll live forever. They're not like this that just don't mean anything, has no value unless you use it for something. It's a life. It's a soul that will absolutely go throughout all the ages of eternity. Now, when he told Israel that back here, you used it wrongly and I'm going to take it back, what was he trying to get them to do? He was trying to get them turned back to God, quit doing their evil, and use that which God gave them for the right purpose, to glorify God. And I believe with all my heart, I really believe this, I believe God cares. Tomorrow, if I go to a store, what I spend that $20 for. No, I think God cares. And I think we ought to get him involved in every transaction that we do. I don't, you know, if we go to the store and get a loaf of bread, we understand that it's something that is needed. It's a part of life. It's part of the bread. It's part of the drink. It's part of the clothing. We always, Don and I always talk about these things and ask the Lord about them. And any, you know, but she can go and get a loaf of bread because that's just okay. God okays that. You understand? Because it's part of the process of life. But when you go and take some of your money, me too, I take this one, I think I'll better be very, very careful how I spend that, because that's the increase that God gave me. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you understand? And so you say, well, I'm not making idols to Baal, and I know you're not. But the principle is there. That which God gave us, what are we going to do with it? Amen? Now, I can't determine that for you. You can't determine it for me. But I do believe we ought to get our precious Savior involved in all of these things. Don't you? When we spend our money, when we use that which God gave us, I think we ought to get him involved. I've been in times, I'm telling you, in my lifetime, I've been at times when I used money that God was not okaying that I used. And I got told about it. Now, I'm just telling you. I'll tell you a little story real quick. I was pastoring. I was back here, and there was a couple came into the church, as people did quite often. They was hunting help. They didn't have, of course, they always have the big stories. They just, you know, but anyway, they was traveling through and they needed help. Now, be very truthful, that day I was very busy, and I truthfully didn't want to really be bothered. I didn't tell them that, but I didn't want to be bothered. I was very busy. So they told me the story. I took out of my billfold some money. I went up to the up here and filled their tank up and gave them something. I can't remember if it was a 10 or something. God liked whipped me to death about that, because I didn't ask him, and he said he was telling me not to help them. I know he was. I know he was. And I apologized to him and asked forgiveness, but I just wasn't in tune with things. Now, what I'm saying is, I think we better get in tune with God when it comes to spending our money. Okay? You think so? And you have to do that. I can't do it for you. I don't know what God's going to tell you. I don't know all those things. But I know this. He's the one that will instruct us and teach us in the way which we shall go and guide us with his eye. Okay? And we need to take that and use it for good. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your kindness, your goodness, your wonderful grace. Thank you for loving us. Helpful. Father, I just pray it's been a little helpful, reminding today, Father, about things. They just don't mount to anything. And Lord, I just ask you, help us as we go about our lives to do right. In Jesus' name, amen.